Well, Thanksgiving is this week. Are you ready? No? Okay. Well, Thanksgiving to me has these six things that start with the letter F, all right? Family, friends, food. There's some fun in there. I got to say it, football. And the last one is turkey. But that doesn't start with an F. Yes. So we're going to be spending time with some family, a little bit smaller crowd today or this week, but looking forward to hanging out. Well, the word Thanksgiving, it's oversaturated, right? It doesn't register in our minds and our hearts anymore, right? Instead of just giving thanks on or near Thanksgiving once a year, what if we allowed gratitude and thankfulness in our hearts every day? Like the daily practice of gratitude to God and His many blessings. The Sunday before Thanksgiving last year, I talked about not just giving thanks, but living thanks. Not Thanksgiving, but thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Being a follower of Jesus who lives thankful every day. What would that look like in our lives? Part one, we talked about replace complaining with contentment, right? If there were Complainers Anonymous, I know that I'd be there, right? Would anybody else? No one else? Okay, no one else is raising their hands. Sorry. So my hands are up, okay. We are to give thanks to God for being the Father, right? To stop and just focus on Him. Always give thanks for God's sovereignty. Meaning that God has absolute right and authority to do all things according to His own pleasure, right? He's in control. Always giving thanks for God the Father's love. No matter what we go through, we are loved by Him. Always giving thanks for God's many blessings. God's greatest blessings to you and I is when He gave us Jesus. We are God's children adopted into His forever family. We talked about that last week. And our identity. Always give thanks as we joyfully submit to God. Because when we go through difficulties, we often throw ourselves a pity party. But we must allow God to conform us into His image. You see, it's subtracting complaining from our hearts and our lives, and it's adding contentment in its place. Subtracting complaining and putting contentment inside, right? Because complaining hurts our ability to be thankful. Looking back over this past year, don't raise your hand, but how did we do? How did we do with the quotient of complaining and contentment? Replacing complaining with contentment. Thanks living. This past Friday, I was here in Morris and running around doing some errands, and I came up to a four-way stop with another car on my left, and I was turning left. I was going to Ace, but I drove faster to get to the four-way stop sign first. Have you ever done this? Oh, yeah. Am I looking at holy people? Yeah, I saw him coming, and then like we had to time it, so I sped up and then braked really hard, you know what I'm talking about, right? To get there first. But what a silly thing to do, right? What's a few more seconds of waiting for that person to go ahead of me? But no, I had to be first. So then I got to turn, and he had to wait for me. Well, you know what? I have a suspicion that we all struggle from time to time with wanting what we want. We were never taught as babies and toddlers the word mine. It just comes naturally. It comes instinctively. Is that true for Elena? Mine, mine. Our parents had to instill in us to share with our siblings. Maybe even discipline us, if you know what I mean, right? Until we understood that it's good to share. Our teachers had to teach us to share with our classmates. Our coaches had to demonstrate that it's a team sport. And as we got older, right, we realized that it's good to get along with others, and that means, among other things, being selfless. But it's always there. It's always lurking beneath the surface of our hearts on any given day with any given person. "Why is Dad never home?" the 16-year-old girl asked her mother. "Well, dear, he has taken a second job so that you can have your iPads and an iPhone, a TV in your room, and club memberships and cosmetics and trendy clothes. He does it all for you so his beautiful girl doesn't miss out on a thing." "Wow," the teenager replied thoughtfully. "That's really very selfish of him, isn't it?" Self-centered, self-absorbed, selfish, egotistical, right? But it's not just the terrible twos, and it's not just teenagers or even young adults, right? It's all of us wanting our own way in a million different ways. In our marriages, in our relationships with family and friends, in our workplaces, in our schools, on the team. Selfish with our time and our energy and our emotions, our money. And I'm sure there are times that we believe and think that the world does actually revolve around us, right? Maybe I'm the only one, but I'm pretty sure that sometimes we wake up and this is my road, this is my highway, why are you driving slow in my lane, right? If Selfishness Anonymous were real, would we join, right? Selfishness Anonymous. "Hi, I'm Spencer, and I'm selfish." Duh, get in line. We all are. I told this story last year. Matthew Henry, he's a minister, he was a writer, a commentator, professor, who lived in England 1662 to 1714. That was a long time ago. He made a commitment to always abide by the verse that's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And that commitment that he made to that verse was put to the test as Matthew was walking home one evening and he was robbed. Naturally, he wanted to react, to be upset, to be angry, to be fearful, and to be depressed. But he remembered this commitment, right, to always give thanks no matter what the situation was. So he sat down and he wrote in his journal four things he decided that he could be thankful for. Again, he just got robbed, right? Despite the life-threatening encounter with this thief. This is what he wrote down. Quote, "Let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." What a response, right? I think what would be our reaction if we were to go through that? This verse doesn't mean that we give thanks to God for the problems that we encounter in our lives, but that we thank God in spite of the problems that we go. We rise above it with his help. The thief took what wasn't theirs. They wanted what Matthew had, but he rose above it. He was able to find a way to be thankful in spite of being robbed. My question today is, what if there's a better way to live? What's another way to live thanks instead of just give thanks? It's just a part of everyday life. We wake up and we begin to live thanks. So I've titled my message this morning, "Replace Selfishness with Serving." Replace selfishness with serving. One day, Jesus was walking with his disciples toward Jerusalem. They didn't have skateboards or motorcycles or bikes, but they were walking. They did have camels and donkeys, so maybe they were, but it says they were walking. And there was a heavy anticipation of dread as they followed him. So Jesus, he took the 12 disciples aside and he explained to them about what was going to happen to him in the city. He will be sentenced to die. They'll mock him. They'll spit on him. They'll beat him with whips and kill him. But he will rise again in 3 days. You can imagine their perplexity in hearing these words from their Savior, from their teacher. So here's where we pick up the story. It's found in Mark chapter 10, starting with verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. Well, what is it, he asked. In your glorious kingdom, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, they said, one at your right and the other at your left. But Jesus answered, you don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the bitter cup of sorrow I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with? Oh, yes, they said, we are able. And Jesus said, you will indeed drink from the cup and be baptized with my baptism, but I have no right to say who will sit on the thrones next to mine. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. Verse 41, when the 10 other disciples discovered what James and John had asked, they were indignant. So Jesus called them together and said, you know that in this world, kings are tyrants, and officials lord it over the people beneath them. But among you, it should be quite different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be the first, wants to be first, must be the slave of all. And then verse 45, for even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others and to give my life as a ransom for many. So Jesus took this moment to teach them about serving others. And no sooner had Jesus just spoken to them about his death and about his resurrection, and James and John, these two brothers, they approached Jesus to ask for a favor. You see, I think they did this out of earshot of the other 10 disciples. They wanted to be seated in places of honor next to Jesus. Even James and John's mom made this same request earlier. And no doubt, in their simple minds, they were thinking about Jesus' earthly kingdom. He was going to come and beat the Romans and establish a kingdom, and there's John and James, and they're his right-hand guys. But it's really a glimpse into the hearts of the disciples. They were jockeying for important positions, struggling to see who will be the greatest. And Jesus asked James and John if they'd be willing to suffer and die like he has just described.